Exodus chapter 33. Exodus chapter 33. Well, you paid pretty good money to come here, didn't you?
Amen.
Cost you a few bucks to come here. You certainly didn't come for the Spartan conditions that we have, you know. The food's pretty good, but the reason we come is to hear from God. I mean, really, the reason that we're here is that somehow God would get a hold of my heart and do something in my heart, because I need my heart changed. And I want to do God's will. So when a preacher gets up and tries to stumble through a message, I pray that the power of God would do something in your heart and that you'd be changed to walk with God.
Amen.
Then it's worth 55 euro or 75 euro, you know?
Amen.
That's why we're here. I'm going to preach a message called Walking with God, and because that's what I was told to preach. So that's what I'm going to preach. But I hope God speaks to your heart. Exodus chapter 33 and in verse 11. The Bible says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses face to face, as a man speaketh unto his friend. And he turned again into the camp, but his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, departed not out of the tabernacle. And Moses said unto the Lord, See, thou sayest unto me, Bring up this people, and thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. Yet thou hast said, I know thee by name, and thou hast also found grace in my sight. Now therefore I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way, that I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight. And consider that this nation is thy people. And he said, My presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. And he said unto him, If thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence." You know, I wonder if we really want to walk with God. I wonder if we really want this kind of relationship with God. You know, Moses didn't really speak face to face with God, but there was such an intimate relationship that it was like two friends talking. I would love to get to that point in my relationship with God that we just talk to each other like we're friends. No man has seen God's face and lived. Nobody will see God's face. But that's not what the verse is talking about. It's talking about Moses came to a relationship with God where it was actually like two friends talking to each other. And I think that's amazing. You know, John 4:23 says, "The hour cometh and now is when the true worshipers shall worship in spirit and in truth, and God seeketh such to worship Him." God's the one that's looking to have personal, private, intimate time with you. It's God that does the looking and the searching and the seeking for a man after his own heart. I would love to be that man. I hope you came here to get changed so much that when you go back to your ministry or go back into your church or go back with your loved ones or go back with your friends, that they can see that you've met with God, that you've been with Him, and it's been a face-to-face meeting. God does the seeking for a man to draw close to Him and near to Him and worship Him and spend time with Him and really talk to Him. And you know, we always leave the better for that. Anytime you spend time alone with God, you'll always be better off. You'll always be better off than when you started. So you have to ask yourself, do you really want to talk or do you really want to walk with God? Because it's a decision that you make. It really is a choice that you have to make right now, because God doesn't play games like we play games. When He says, come and be with me, He really means it. He really wants to spend time with us. But sometimes we play games with God and we say we're going to do things and we don't do it. Well, God's not like that. Make a decision. You can't blame anyone but yourself if you're far away from God. It's not God's fault. It's our fault. The blessings of personal time with God, and when we're praying and when we're reading our Bible and when we're being obedient every day, we can have peace in our life. If you don't have peace, you know why you don't have peace? Isaiah 26:3 says, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on Him." You don't have peace because you're not thinking about God. You're not reading your Bible. You're not obeying God. And you wonder, why don't I have peace in my life? Why was my life in tumult? You know, why is it up and down? Because you don't have time with God. You're not reading your Bible. What about your walk with God? Psalm 1:1-3. I know some of these guys probably know it, but blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. That's the blessed man. Are you blessed today? Are you blessed tonight? How about wisdom? Do you have wisdom in your life? Proverbs 3:5-6. You know these verses. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. And lean not unto thine own understanding. Why don't I have wisdom for the things to do in my life and the decisions that have to be made? Because you're not trusting in God. Because you don't have a walk with God. Moses had a walk with God. But it started somewhere. We're going to talk a little bit about that. But let me just say, I want you to remember something that's already been said. You desperately need God. He does not desperately need you. But we desperately need God. But He lovingly wants a relationship with you. When you desperately want Him, it'll be because you desperately love Him the way He loves you. You won't ever draw close to God until you desperately love Him with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind, and with all of your strength. That's when you'll draw close to God. Moses came to a place where he desperately wanted and needed God. And in verse 15, he said unto him, "If thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence." That's a good place to be. I'm not doing nothing, God, unless I know you're there. I want to have faith in my God. I don't want to take another step until I know God's the one that's directing me and guiding me and going with me. Moses spent time alone with God and it changed his life. It changed his life. Look at Exodus chapter 40. Exodus chapter 40. In verse 16. Simple verse here says, "Thus did Moses..." He was told to do some things. And it said, "Thus did Moses, according to all that the Lord commanded him, so did he." You want to have a walk with God? You have to obey God. You have to do everything God tells you to do. Just be obedient to God. Turn to Psalm 139. Turn to Psalm 139. You know, the Christian life really isn't rocket science. It's just about reading your Bible, loving God and obeying Him. And you will draw so close to God, and He will draw so close to you. But Psalm 139 and verse 23 says this, "Search me, O God, and know my heart." 139 verse 23, "Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." Search your heart now, as I start this message, search your heart and see if there be some wicked way in you. See if there's something between you and God. And why don't you just ask Him, "Lord, forgive me. I want to draw close to you during this message. I want to learn and hear what you have to say. And I want to change my life right tonight or here at camp this weekend. I want to change my life and start walking with God. Search my heart, O God." And promise God that if He tells you to do something, would you do it tonight? Would you do it? Let's pray. Father, I thank you, Lord, for your book. I thank you, Lord, for the Holy Spirit of God. I thank you for these men. And I pray, Father, from the oldest to the youngest, Lord, that they get something from this message tonight. Because it's your book, Lord. It's your message. It's about a man who walked with God. And I pray, Heavenly Father, that you would just use me tonight. I pray that you'd open their hearts. And Father, that somebody make a decision tonight. Not just walk away unchanged. That they'd really make a decision to walk with you tonight, Lord. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let's turn back to Exodus chapter 2. Moses' personal walk with God. And you can start filling in page 16 of your book there. You'll see, number one, Exodus chapter 2, and in verse 7, it says, "Then said his sister," this is Moses' sister, "then said his sister to Pharaoh's daughter, 'Shall I go and call to thee a nurse of the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for thee?' And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, 'Go,' and the maid went and called the child's mother. And Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, 'Take this child away and nurse it for me, and I will give thee thy wages.' And the woman took the child and nursed it." Isn't that amazing? That this woman had to hide her child, Moses, for 3 months because Pharaoh was killing all the male Hebrew babies. And she hid him for 3 months. Then finally she had to make an ark, it says, in verse 3. And when she could not no longer hide him, she took for him an ark. You know, this is the second man that's been in an ark in your Bible, okay? So now it says Moses, the man of God, he's in an ark, and she sends him down the river, and he just happens to wind up with Pharaoh's daughter. But anyway, the funny thing is that the sister's right there watching the whole thing. And she comes up to Pharaoh's daughter and says, I can find somebody to nurse the child. Well, go ahead and get her and I'll pay her wages. So now Moses' mother got the baby right back in her lap. And now she's getting paid to nurse her own child. God's an amazing God. And, you know, the feeling there is that Moses' personal walk with God started when he was young. The feeling is young. It started and learned when he was very young. And his pastor was saying, I mean, it started when he was weaned at his own mother's breast. Now, I don't know how long he was with his mother and father, but I guarantee you this, a foundation was laid with that little baby. A foundation was laid in the home with his mom and his dad as a little tiny baby. And I don't know if he was 1, 2, 3, 4 or whatever that he was brought back to Pharaoh's daughter, but he learned stories and he sang songs about his God that he learns from mommy and daddy. And it's just amazing that the foundation was laid there in Moses' life. Now, I don't know how old you were when you got saved, or I don't know how old you were when you started hearing about God, but it wasn't until I was about 35 years old till I got saved. It didn't start young for me, but I'm glad there's some young men here tonight. And I pray that, you know, maybe you got saved. Some of you guys are saved. I don't know. But I'll tell you this. I'm so glad that the foundation's already been laid in their life and that these young men can grow up to know God and walk with God. Because that's when the foundation really needs to be laid. It didn't start that way with me. I spent 35 years away from God doing my own thing. But I'll tell you this. Somebody came alongside and told me about Jesus Christ. You say, how does that apply to us about starting young and laying the foundation young? Well, let me tell you this. Why don't you find somebody that you can lay the foundation for and tell them about Jesus Christ and start pouring your life into someone else or some of these young people. Start pouring your life into them and helping them start their walk with God at a very young age. It would behoove us as men to go back to our churches and start pouring our life into some other people and help them to know God. And go out and win some souls. Because Moses, God is always in your beginnings. And these young people here, God is in their beginnings. And we could do the same. It didn't happen for us maybe, but we can help somebody else. I'm glad somebody told me about Jesus Christ. And my beginnings started at 35 years old. But you know what? We can help somebody else start their foundation with God. Moses started at a very young age, hearing his mother's voice, and began to walk with God, and he learned about his mother's and father's God. Your walk with God starts in your home. These young kids are learning about God in the home. Proverbs 20, verse 7 says, "The just man walketh in his integrity, and his children are blessed after him." You think about it, men. If you have children in your home, and you need to walk in your integrity, because you're laying the foundation for those young people, for God to begin to work in their life. There has to be an environment in the home where God is invited in. So that it starts when they're very young to learn about God. Moses' walk with God started at a very young age. Hearing his mom and dad talk about God and hearing the stories about Elohim. Who knows what Moses' first words were. But I tell you this, he learned about God at a very young age. It started when he was very young. Number two. Moses' walk continued through observation. Through observation. Turn to Acts chapter 7. Acts chapter 7. And in verse 22. Acts chapter 7 and verse 22 says, "And Moses was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians, and was mighty in words and in deeds. And when he was a full 40 years old, it came into his heart to visit his brethren, the children of Israel. And seeing one of them suffer wrong, he defended him and avenged him that was oppressed and smote the Egyptian. For he supposed his brethren would have understood how that God by his hand would deliver them, but they understood not." Moses' walk continued through observation. I mean, here's Moses, this Egyptian now, 40 years old, and it says he was mighty in words and deeds. I mean, Moses was a great Egyptian. He knew a lot of things about being an Egyptian. He was a great Egyptian. But God had other plans for his life, and God begins to speak to him, and it came into his heart to visit his brethren. But he's watching these Jews, these Hebrew brethren, building Pharaoh's cities and Pharaoh's palaces. And he sees the way they worship. He sees their culture. He sees the way they live. He sees their interaction, their traditions. He's watching those people live for God, their God. And it was his God. And he had a desire to know that. He went out amongst the people. So what does that mean for us? It means that we need to be watching people who are following God. We really do. We need to follow people who are following Christ. Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. It would help us immensely if we found somebody that's living for God. Go ahead and watch their life. Go ahead and be an example for someone else. You know, you'll be a whole lot stronger Christian if you spend more time around the people of God than some of the people that we hang out with. We ought to be living and around the people that are living for God. The Bible says evil communications corrupt good manners. We ought to spend our time around people who are living for the Lord. Who will you spend the time with? Who do you keep company with? What are you watching? Who are you watching? Moses was beginning to learn about the people of God that he was going to deliver just by watching them and observing them. And I'm sure he was drawn to them. And he wondered about how they lived and how they worshiped God. Here's Moses being a great Egyptian and learning all the ways of the Egyptians. But God had other plans for his life. And sometimes we get real good at being a worldling. We get real good at being carnal. We get real good at walking around in the flesh. And we forget that God has some other plans for our life. God wants to do something in your life. Do you have a desire to know how to walk with God? Do you have a desire for that? Because God was working on Moses. He went out and visited his brethren, and then he took action. Now, it was the wrong action. He should have let God direct him. He should have waited. He should have learned a little more and obeyed and acted on God's command. But he wanted to do something for his people. He was still learning about his brethren. What I'm trying to say is we need to watch other people who are walking with God and try to learn from them. And then also try to be somebody who others can watch and follow as we walk with God. So Moses started real young, and then he began to grow in his walk with God as he observed his people, even as an Egyptian, watching them in their daily life. But number three is what I want to get to. There was a major turning point, a real conversion event, is your fill-in. There was a major turning point. Look at Exodus chapter 3. Exodus chapter 3. You all know about the burning bush? Exodus chapter 3 and verse 1, it says, now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see God, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here am I. And he said, draw not nigh hither, put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. There has to be a place where there's a conversion in your life. I'm not talking about getting saved. I'm talking about getting turned around. I'm not talking about getting saved. I'm talking about when you turn around. You see in verse 3, it says, and Moses said, I will now turn aside. He turned aside. He wanted to look at that bush. He wanted to see that. He had to turn away from what he was doing, from the sheep to this great sight that he saw before him. And he made a decision to draw near to God. There has to be a decision in your life where you say, I'm not going to go down the same path that I'm going day after day, just nominally being a Christian, just doing what I want to do and trying to live for the Lord and trying to do my own thing. There's going to be a conversion in my life where I'm going to give my heart and soul totally to the Lord. I'm going to turn aside from everything else that keeps me from following God, and I'm going to wholly follow the Lord. There has to be a conversion. Each one of us has to make a decision to turn around. Not get saved, just be converted. That's what Jesus said about Peter. When thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. Peter, you're all right. You're saved. You're going to heaven. But you need to be converted. You're not following me. You're following yourself. You're doing what you want to do. And you're not going to help anybody until you start to follow me and get your eyes on me. There has to be a moment in your life where you turn around from that which is comfortable, that which you know, that which you are in control of, to where God's in control of your life. Yes, it's a little fearful. That's why Moses was afraid. The bush was burning. And he turned aside to see it. And he said, Moses, this is holy ground. And he was afraid. And you're going to be afraid too when you say, Lord, take my life. It's all yours now. I'm taking my hands off. That's a conversion. That's a place in your life where you turn around from that which is familiar and you're used to where God's in control of your life now. Look at verse 5 and 6. Remember, he says, draw not nigh hither, put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place wherein thou standest is holy ground. Moses, it's holy ground. He says, he was afraid to look upon God. When you come to the place where God's big and you're little, now you're getting somewhere. Where God shakes the foundations of your life. It's not just walking back down there and getting a sandwich and a biscuit and having tea and forgetting about what you heard. I'm talking about what Moses went through was a conversion in his life. This is the event that turned him around. God had to have a bush, a flaming bush that wasn't consumed, and speak to him out of that bush. And finally, Moses got it. This is where I believe Moses was converted and turned around. He began to fear God. Now I know there's 30, 40 Christians. They're all sitting here. You say, we love God, and so do I. But do you really fear God? Do you really fear God? Because that's where conversion takes place. When God's big and you're little. That has to happen in your life. Has it happened to you yet? It should happen before you leave this camp. Make a decision to get alone with God. You don't have to be... You could even miss a meeting. If you were up at your bed, on your knees, crying out to God, I'm sure Pastor Ledbetter would be glad. You're up there instead of at a meeting. You were getting right with God. But it should be done. I remember my salvation. I remember that Saturday night. I remember muting the television and getting on my knees. And I remember asking Jesus Christ to save me. I remember asking Him to have mercy on me. I spent too many years in drug addiction and all that wicked lifestyle I was in. And finally, Christ saved my soul. Then I remember when God called me to missionary service. What's He going to do with a crane operator working for the federal government? What's He going to do with me? But He called me. He told me, He asked me. He said to me, He said, will you go for me? And I said, I will. I'll go. But there has to be a point where there's a yielding. There's a salvation, there's a call, but there's a yielding. That's personal. Where you finally yield and say, whatever you want to do, Lord. Because God calls. God's calling each one of us to something. But have you yielded to the call of God? That's what Moses finally yielded. There has to be a personal, private submission before God before you'll ever make a true public submission or profession to do something for God. It has to happen in your prayer closet. It has to happen alone where you meet with God and you yield your life to Him. Before it ever happens publicly. It has to happen in here along with God. That's the way it happened with Moses. God wants your heart. He wants your life. And you have to give Him that. You have to yield Him that. He will save your soul if you call out and ask Him to save you. He'll call you, but you have to yield in order for Him to use you. Moses was challenged by a call from God to do God's will now. He had to relinquish his own will. And yield. Look at Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. In verse 12. It says, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey to the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and that your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Verse 16. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered to you. Being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. How? All by yielding and obeying God. And we went from serving sin to serving God. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body. We allow sin in our life. We're the ones that give in to the flesh. But we don't have to. We need to yield to God. We need to give in to God. And let God have control of our life. What's needed in your walk with God? It's submission. It is obedience. It is yielding, relinquishing control of your life to God. You can get straight. You can even go a couple years and you're doing fine. And then you will fall right back into your sin. Maybe go back into a bad lifestyle. Not if you give God submission now. Not if you completely obey Him. Not if you relinquish control of your life. As I've said before, you can submit now or surrender later. That's up to you. You will surrender someday. You will surrender. But who wants to go through a long, bloody fight with God before they finally say, Lord, my life is your life. It's yours. Take it. Why do you want to go through that? Who needs all that? When you can be serving God, and yay, is it not a privilege to serve God? Does He have to beg you to serve Him? It should be something we say, you're going to use me? You want to use me? Take my life and let it be. Holy, consecrated unto Thee, what the song says. Man, a conversion has to happen in your life. Exodus chapter 4. Exodus chapter 4. Look at this in Exodus chapter 4. You know, some of us actually think God can't use me. You're still sitting here tonight and you're saying, God can't use me. God doesn't want to use me. I beg to differ with you. Moses would have been the last man you thought God would be using. But He used him. And Moses made every attempt not to be used. I can't do this. I can't do that. I can't even speak. I can't do anything. And I bet you 90% of us right here would dread having to get up in front of this pulpit to speak. None of us were any good at public speaking, were we, in school? Didn't we all bite our fingernails before we had to speak? But God still wants to use us. He's not looking for great talent and ability. He's just looking for availability. He's just looking for somebody to give Him their heart and say, Lord, if You'll use me, I'll do it. Can You use me, Lord? Yes, I can use You. But I just need You to relinquish control of your life. In Exodus chapter 4 and in verse 1, and Moses answered and said, but behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice, for they will say, the Lord hath not appeared unto thee. And the Lord said unto him, what's in thine hand? And he said, a rod. You know, he's just a shepherd. I'm just a shepherd. You can't use me. I'm just a shepherd. I'm just a crane operator. I'm just a rigger. I mean, I don't know how to preach and do all this other stuff. I don't even know. Go to Ireland. That doesn't matter to God. You know what? God gets the glory. He's not looking for you to be big. He's looking to be big in you. If you'll just relinquish your life to Him and just say, Lord, you want to use a lowly shepherd? In verse 6 he says, and the Lord said furthermore unto him, put now thine hand into thy bosom. And he put his hand into his bosom. And when he took it out, behold, his hand was leprous as snow. And then he put it back in and it came out like a little baby's skin. But see, God's even in control of your flesh. Do you know that? God's in control of everything. Once you give Him your life, He can help you overcome sin in your life to live for God. He's in control of all of it. And Moses said, it says in verse 10, and Moses said unto the Lord, oh my Lord, I'm not eloquent. Now he's saying, I can't talk. I'm slow of speech. God's in control of that too. Your abilities are not what God needs. He needs you. He needs you. And in verse 12 of Exodus chapter 4, It says, "Now therefore go, and I will be with thy mouth and teach thee what thou shalt say." Now look at verse 18. "And Moses went and returned to Jethro, his father-in-law, and said unto him, Let me go." God said, "Now therefore go." And finally Moses said, "Let me go. I'm ready to go. There's been a conversion in my life. God's turned me around. I've made a decision. I'm going to walk with God. I have a willingness and my heart is ready to just serve God. Now let's see what you can do, God." See your excuses for what they are. You know what they are? Excuses. That's all they are, is excuses. You're telling God you can't use me. You can't do anything in my life. I beg to differ with you. And there's not one of these young people that couldn't grow up and preach the Word of God, or be a missionary, or just serve in your local church, or just be a man of God and a servant. Boy, that's a good title, just being a servant. But first you have to trust Him and walk with Him and be converted. Be converted. Moses in chapter 3 and in verse 4 says this at the burning bush. He says, "And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here I am." Here am I. Have you said that to the Lord? I'm here. Whatever you want to do. Here I am. Would you use me? You need to be converted. But you're also going to need a prayer life. Number 4, Moses' walk with God grew, is your fill-in. It grew through his prayer life. Moses' walk with God grew through his prayer life. You have got to get alone with God. You have got to learn to pray. Turn to Exodus chapter 24. Exodus chapter 24. And let me say, if there's one discipline in this room that we're not doing, and that we're not, I'm not only speaking for myself, I guess, it's prayer. Let me just go through my outline here. Get along with God. This is where real spiritual strength is. It's in our prayer closet. This is where we get strength to serve the Lord. We need to take time to worship. We need to get alone with God. Get on your face before God and let Him speak to you. Even these young people here, get on your face before God. Talk to God. Let Him talk to you. In verse 2 of Exodus 24, I'm in Leviticus, Exodus chapter 24, in verse 1 it says, "And he said unto Moses, Come up unto the Lord, thou and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel, and worship ye afar off." In verse 2 he says, "And Moses alone shall come up near the Lord, shall come near the Lord. But they shall not come nigh, neither shall the people go up with him." So really it's about learning this idea of getting alone with God. I mean, I'm still learning that. And I believe that this is the one discipline that's going to take us to the level of intimacy that we need with Jesus Christ. This is where you get intimate with the Lord. And that's why it's least done. Because you know what? Prayer is hard. Prayer isn't easy, is it? You know, we come to find out Moses was 40 days on the mountain. 6 days before God even said anything. Sometimes we don't spend 6 minutes in prayer. Do we? You know it as well as I do. This is the one thing that's lacking in our life. Prayer time. And that's why we're not close to God. This intimacy is what takes us to the next level. It did for Moses. That's how he was able to lead these people. In Luke 5:16 and Luke 6:12, you'd read about Jesus went alone into the mountain and prayed. He didn't pray for 6 minutes. He went up there all night and stayed there. And that's why he did the will of the Father. You know, he was a man as much as he was God. And he needed to talk to his Father. But when he did it for a whole night. And when he came down, he was ready for another day's work. Prayer closet. Prayer closet. Prayer closet. Do you have one? Are you spending time with God in prayer alone? That's going to take you to the next level. We have this privilege every day. Moses alone shall come near, it says in verse 2. Verses 3 through 8, Moses goes out and builds an altar. He slays the fatted calf and he gets ready to worship. And he gets everybody around him to understand, to put the blood on the altar and get ready to worship God. Moses is preparing to meet with God. It wasn't an accident. You have to prepare for this time. It's not just going to happen. Because the last time you'll make is the prayer time. Every other time you'll set it all out there, but you won't make time for prayer. It has to be a conscious thought. When I get up, I'm going to pray. Or I'm going to read my Bible, then I'm going to pray. I'm going to do it. If the phone rings, call them back. But I have got to pray. I don't have to answer the phone, but I've got to pray. I've got to pray. You see, verse 9 says, "Then went up Moses and Aaron." But first he had to prepare. You've got to set time aside for this. It will not happen. You will find something else to do. You take your mind off of prayer or the idea that you're going to pray for 1 second, and the devil will give you something else to do, I guarantee you. Your own flesh does not want to pray. It doesn't want to pray. So verses 9 through 11, it says, "Then went up Moses and Aaron and Nadab and Abihu and the 70 of the elders of Israel, and they saw the God of Israel." And they saw the God of Israel. Everyone with Moses saw the Lord. Because Moses was seeking God. Because Moses wanted to meet with God. Moses was supposed to go up and meet with God. Well, when you're home, you're supposed to meet with God. And you can take everybody else with you. And they can see God too, if you're living for God. If you want to get alone with God, your children can get alone with God. They can see God too. If you've got a good, solid prayer life, you can change your whole home because of your prayer life. Everybody got to see God. And they all saw God, it says, of Israel. And there was under his feet, as it were, a paved work, a sapphire stone, as it were, the body of heaven in his clearness. They all saw that. Because Moses was leading them. And he wanted to meet with God. It can happen in your home. It can happen in your family. And it can happen in your ministry. Whether you're a Sunday school teacher, whether you're pastoring a church, whether you're teaching, whether you're just a preacher, whether you're just serving in some ministry, whatever you're doing, it can change your ministry. Getting alone with God. Everybody else will catch hold of it. In verse 12 it says, "And the Lord said unto Moses, Come up to me into the mount and be there, and I will give thee the tables of stone and a law and commandments which I have written, and thou mayest teach them. And Moses rose up and his minister Joshua, and Moses went up into the mount of God. And he told the other ones to tarry. Tarry ye here. Tarry ye here." So now it's just Moses and Joshua now. And the elders are left behind. And immediately I thought of Jesus in the garden. How he took all the disciples. And they went to pray in the Garden of Gethsemane before he went to Mount Calvary. And he said, "Pray. Pray for me." And then he took Peter, James, and John, and he went a little farther with them. And he said, "Pray for me, will you?" But ultimately, he had to get alone with God. But you need to find some people to pray with. You need to find some people to pray with like Moses did. Moses had Joshua. That was his minister. That was his closest friend, his servant. You need to have somebody that you can say, "Can you pray with me?" You know, we don't do that. But we should. We don't do that. And I bet you that would go a long way to changing both of our lives. If I could find a man, I'd just sit down and just, "Can we just pray together?" We just don't do that. We're learning something here. I'm telling you. I bet you that impacted Joshua's life. Jesus went a little farther, though. You finally see in verse 15, "And Moses went up into the mount, and a cloud covered the mount." Finally, it's just Moses alone with God. And you got to go all the way. Jesus had to go all the way by himself and pray to God alone in the garden. And we have to do the same thing. We've got to get alone with God. Go all the way. And then wait. And then wait on God. It says, the cloud covered it 6 days. And the seventh day, he called unto Moses out of the midst of the cloud in verse 16. 6 days, he's just up there on the mountain. And finally, God speaks on the seventh day. I mean, how much time do we spend just quiet before God? We need to look at this part of our life, our Christian life, because this is the part, I'm telling you, this is the part that's going to take you to the next level. You're going to stop right here if you don't have a prayer life. You'll serve and you'll get things done and, you know, you'll get along, but you won't move into the level of intimacy that Moses had with God until this is developed in our life. And then finally, in verse 17, and the sight of the glory of the Lord was like devouring fire on the top of the mountain in the eyes of the children of Israel. And Moses went into the midst of the cloud and got him up into the mount. And Moses was in the mount 40 days and 40 nights with God. And I challenged myself. I said, when was the last time you spent 40 minutes in prayer? 40 minutes. I would venture to say that would be something we could look forward to, is that sweet hour of prayer. Just kneel before God for an hour. And just talk to God. And pour it all out to Him. Have you ever done that before? 1 hour. Don't rush in prayer. God wasn't in any hurry, I'll tell you that. And God's never in a hurry. We ought to seek to want to just stay with God. It's not a secret formula. It's just a desire to walk with God. And finally, it was established and confirmed with God's continual presence. Okay? We go back to Exodus chapter 33. It was confirmed, his walk with God was confirmed in that with God's continual presence. In Exodus chapter 33, remember verse 11? And the Lord spake unto Moses face to face, as a man speaketh to his friend. And then verse 14, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. You know, God was just with Moses. Moses needed God. God wanted to use Moses. He had a purpose and a plan for his life. But Moses came to a place where God had to go before him. God had to be there. The Lord had to lead. And that's a good place to be. If you can't do anything more in your ministry until God tells you to do something, until you meet with God and God leads the way, that's a good place to be. Let God do the leading. Let God tell you what to do next. Just wait on God. If you're earnestly seeking an answer from God, don't you think He'll tell you? Don't you think He'll give you some idea of what He wants you to do? Of course He will. We always run ahead of God. That's just the way we are. If God doesn't lead, I'm not going, He said. That's a good place to be. Just wait on God. Moses wanted more and more and more and more of God. That's why I like that song, More and More About Jesus. More and more about Jesus. More of His saving fullness, see? More of His love who died for me. Just more about Jesus. Can't get enough of Him. This is our goal, to have this kind of relationship with God. This is full circle now. Where we started, how do we have that? Well, finally you get to this point where it's friend to friend. Face to face with God. Look in John chapter 15. Look in John chapter 15. And in verse 9. John chapter 15 and verse 9. As the Father hath loved me, who's speaking here? Jesus. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love. Even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in His love. Abide, dwell, live in His love. These things have I spoken unto you, to His disciples, that my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. Friends. I want to get to the place where God calls me His friend. Where it's such an intimate relationship with God that I feel like I'm talking friend to friend. That'll be the greatest time of your life when you move to that level of intimacy with God. That it's just two friends talking to each other in prayer. Do you want to be the friend of God? Would you like to be the friend of God? Verse 14 says, "You're my friends if you do whatsoever I command you." Wow, obedience goes a long way in our walk with God, doesn't it? Just obeying God. How far are you away from God tonight? You know why? Because you're disobedient. Because you've got something between you and the Savior. You know, if you could, you know, remember when Moses, back in Exodus 33, Moses said, "I want to see your glory." And as the pastor said, he put him in the cleft of the rock. Because Moses couldn't look on God's glory. He probably just died right there on the spot. But he hit him in a rock and then he put his hand over it. And as he passed by, Moses just got to look at the back parts of God. He just got to look at the back parts. And you think, that's it? That's all he got to see? How much of God have you seen? Have you even seen the back parts? I would love to see the back parts of God. Moses asked to see the glory of God, and God showed him what he could take, what he could handle. I would love for God to show me some of His glory in my life. If I could just see His footprints and follow Him, that'd be good enough for me. I don't even have to see Him, just see where He's been and follow where He's leading me. Having God's continual presence in your life. Let me just give you some personal applications. Your personal walk with God will be evident in your public life and in your family and in your home when you spend time in your private life. Let me show you something here. In Matthew chapter 6, it all starts in the prayer closet. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 5. It says, "And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou shut the door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee," what? "Openly." Everybody's going to know you've been with God. Now, you don't do it for that reason, but that's just what happens. Remember, Moses came out of the tabernacle and his face was just lit up. He came meeting with God and his face was just lit up. People will know when you've been with God. But your focus is, I want to spend time with the Lord alone. And everybody sees it because God just rewards you openly. People see that you've been with God. Who you spend time with will be seen in your public life. What you're doing privately will be seen publicly. Someday it'll be shouted housetop to housetop. Be careful what you do alone, in private, when the lights are out. Because that's how God's going to bless you. Everybody will know what you've been doing in private, in public. If you spend time with God, He'll reward thee openly. People will know you've been with God. That's where real spiritual strength comes from. You know, you don't have to turn there, but in Elijah. Remember Elijah in 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 3, God said, "Go hide thyself." And he went to the brook Cherith there, and he got fed by the ravens. He was just alone with God, and God took care of him there, and I guess spoke to him and encouraged him. Because he was getting ready, in 1 Kings chapter 18, God said, "Now go show thyself." And that's when he went out and met with the prophets of Baal. So first he, "Go hide thyself." He got strength and ready to meet the prophets of Baal. He didn't know that was coming. And then God said, "Now, go show thyself." I'm telling you, this time alone with God in your prayer closet is going to be the strength that you need to serve God. This is where it all takes place. Your personal walk with God helps you to stand in the gap for others. Numbers 14, you remember the couple times that Moses stood in the gap. Said, "Lord, you know, blot my name out of the book of life. Please, these are your people." He said, "I will pardon them." Can you imagine God just listening to you? "Don't hurt these people. They're your people, God. I'll pardon them because you asked me." That's That's drawing close to God. And then finally, let's finish here in Numbers chapter 20. Numbers chapter 20. Finish your course. Numbers chapter 20. You remember the children of Israel, the whole congregation? It says in verse 1, even the whole congregation into the desert of Zin in the first month, and the people abode in Kadesh, and Miriam died there and was buried there. Verse 2, and there was no water for the congregation, and they gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron, and the people chode with Moses and spake, saying, would God that we had died when our brethren died before the Lord. And why have ye brought us up the congregation of the Lord into this wilderness, that we and our cattle should die there? And there, wherefore have you made us to come out of Egypt to bring us into this evil place? It is no place of seed or of figs or of vines or of pomegranates, neither is there any water to drink. And Moses and Aaron went from the presence of the assembly under the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and they fell upon their faces, and the glory of God appeared unto them. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, take the rod, gather thou the assembly together, thou and Aaron and thy brother, and speak ye unto the rock before their eyes, and it shall give forth his water. Speak unto the rock, and thou shalt bring forth to them water out of the rock. So thou shalt give the congregation and their beasts drink. And Moses took the rod from before the Lord as he commanded him. And Moses and Aaron gathered the congregation together before the rock, and he said unto them, hear now, ye rebels, must we fetch you water out of this rock? And Moses lifted up his hand and with his rod smote the rock twice, and the water came out abundantly. And the congregation drank, and their beasts also. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, because ye believed me not to sanctify me in the eyes of the children of Israel, therefore ye shall not bring this congregation into the land which I have given them. You need to finish your course. Moses never went in. Moses never went in because of one angry episode and bad decision. And he never went into the promised land. And I'm sure he wanted to. But you may be saved, but you might lose the joy of seeing your rewards and hearing a well done thou good and faithful servant because of one bad decision. Don't make that bad decision. Get so far along in your walk with God that you just keep walking with God. Don't get angry like Moses did at God's people. He felt he had to stand in the place of God when all he had to do was speak to that rock. And the reason he didn't go in, the Bible says in verse 12, God said, because you believed me not. You took it upon yourself, Moses, and didn't believe it. If you just spoke to the rock, the water would have came out. And even when he struck the rock, did the water come out? Yes, it did. It came out abundantly. Because God's always good. God's always good, even when we're not. God brought forth the water. He said, you should have sanctified me in the eyes of the children of Israel, and you didn't. And every day that you live for the Lord, you ought to be sanctifying the Lord Jesus Christ before everybody that you come in contact with. It's not about you, and it's not about me. It's about Him. Moses failed to do that, and that's why he didn't go in. That was his sin. He failed to sanctify the Lord before the people. Failed to trust Him. This time, one time here, he just failed to trust Him. Our walk with God should always be about lifting up Jesus Christ and glorifying Him. So, number one was to start now. Don't put it off. If you're a young man, walk with God. If you're saved, but you're older, why don't you help someone else to walk with God? At least there should be a starting place, a foundation where you begin your walk with God. In fact, you might be here tonight and maybe you're not saved. That would be something you need to talk to someone about. You need to continue. Watch others. Fellowship with other Christians. Observe them. Walk with them. Develop your own desire to know God. But it's not wrong to follow somebody and watch somebody as they follow the Lord. Seek the Lord. Always press toward a life-changing decision in your life. A place where a conversion actually takes place and He becomes King of your life and you become His servant. And then get alone in prayer. You need to develop this in your life. You've got to have a prayer life. And then desire Him and need Him. This is the place where His presence is everything. You just can't take another step if God's not there. So what's the challenge? You need to put away our gods. All the things that are keeping you from walking with God, put them away. They're just idols. And let the desire of your heart be to walk with God. Hosea 10:12 says, "Break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord." Let's all bow our heads and pray.